From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Risen Christ in the Midst of His Disciples, part of this series in the life of Christ. Nothing but the miracle of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead can account for the incredible change wrought in the disciples. These men who fled for their lives at Christ's arrest in the garden and who hid themselves for fear after His crucifixion suddenly became fearless witnesses for Him, willing to sacrifice themselves in order to preach His gospel. What accounted for the change? It was certainty that Christ had indeed risen from the dead, for He appeared in their midst and endued them with His power. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in just a few minutes, but first he brings today's hot topic: ignorant, stupid, insane, or wicked.
Listen to this. It's a diatribe of hate, but no government agency will call it a hate crime. It's a blast of consummate ignorance, but it passes for academic brilliance. It is a lie, but the liar is posing as an apologist for truth. Richard Dawkins, one of atheism's most vocal spokesmen, said this: "It is absolutely safe to say that if you meet somebody who claims not to believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, or insane, or wicked, but I'd rather not consider that." Close the quote. Dawkins has a lot more in the same vein. I quote again: "They," that is Christians, "believe this because they rate a particular Bronze Age origin myth more highly than all the scientific evidence in the world. It is only one of literally thousands of such myths from around the world, but it happened by a series of historical accidents to become enshrined in a book, Genesis. Now, in the 21st century, as we approach Darwin's bicentenary, the fact that half of Americans take Genesis literally is nothing less than an educational scandal." Close the quote. This educational scandal has Dawkins all stirred up and ready for battle. Again, I quote: "The Enlightenment is under threat. So is reason, so is truth, so is science, especially in schools of America. I am one of those scientists who feels that it is no longer enough just to get on and do science. We have to devote a significant proportion of our time and resources to defending it from deliberate attack from organized ignorance. We even have to go out on the attack ourselves for the sake of reason and sanity. But it must be a positive attack, for science and reason have so much to give." Close the Dawkins quote. Richard Dawkins is an Oxford University science professor, a zoologist. He is an evolutionist and militant atheist. With his atheism providing the philosophical basis for his acceptance of evolution, and his evolutionism providing the alleged scientific evidence for his atheism, in other words, Dawkins is guilty of two egregious and deliberate errors. First, he pretends that he speaks from a position of pure science and evidence. And he doesn't. He speaks from the presupposition of atheism, and he interprets the facts to support his notion. Second, he would have us believe that his worldview does not shape his scientific interpretation. But it does. The Institute for Creation Research rightly pointed out what Dawkins proposes is not a faithless system. Instead of God, however, he enshrines science and reason. If something cannot currently be explained through natural means, it's only a matter of time before, quote, miracles will be satisfactorily transformed by science into natural phenomena. Dawkins wrote, again I quote, "An atheist in this sense of philosophical naturalist is somebody who believes there's nothing beyond the natural physical world, no supernatural creative intelligence lurking behind the observable universe, no soul that outlasts the body, and no miracles, except in the sense of natural phenomena that we don't yet understand. If there is something that appears to lie beyond the natural world, as it is now imperfectly understood, we hope eventually to understand it and embrace it within the natural. As ever, when we unweave a rainbow, it will not become less wonderful." This is the Dawkins religion. Given the endless evidence of design in all the universe, I think that it is Dawkins and his ilk who are, to use his words, ignorant, stupid, insane, or wicked. The real practitioners of an educational scandal.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, And we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
True in our lives, you know. When unbelief takes over, you cry to the Lord, Lord, do you not know what's happening to us? Do you not understand our trouble? Do you not understand our tears? Do you not know what's happening or what has happened? Man, just stop and think for a minute how foolish that is. He's the only one who does know what's happened and what's happening. They were so depressed. They locked the doors of the room in which they met for fear of the Jews. They were overcome with hopelessness. There was no future for these disciples. They had burned every bridge behind them. They were known as the disciples. That's why they were so afraid, you know. They were known as the disciples. Peter had had a close shave in the house of the high priest. And they had no future. All their hopes were buried with the body of Christ. And then they met him. The very first thing he gave them was the comfort of his presence. No longer were they alone. No longer were they hopeless. He had promised, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now he had fulfilled his word. He gave them the comfort of his pardon. He sent for all his disciples. And then he mentioned Peter particularly. What a message. Send for Peter. Tell Peter, I do want to see him. You know, that must have been music to Peter's ears. If I knew anything about the workings of the devil would never have given up whispering in Peter's ear, you know, even if he does rise, if it's true that he has risen from the dead. Mary says she's seen him, but you're the last man on earth he'd want to see. He heard you curse him. He looked on you as you blasphemed his name to save your own skin. He saw you deny him before just a little girl. Some man you are, You're the last one in the world he would ever want to see. I think in every church gathering there are Christians who have come just there. You feel the Lord. You know where and how and when you feel the Lord. Wherever you turn, there's this voice in you saying, well, the Lord's finished with you. There's no hope for you. But remember, the Savior said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Tell Peter. I want to see him. And while the Lord Jesus certainly examined Peter when he saw him, there was no word of bitter reproof. He didn't take Peter apart. He knew Peter's conviction already. He was there to heal him with his pardon. Our Savior is risen. He brings us the comfort of his presence, the comfort of his pardon, and the comfort of his overwhelming peace. Did you notice in the Bible reading we did this morning that three times, verse 19, verse 21, and verse 26, he said to his disciples, peace be unto you. That's the prerogative of the risen Christ. He can give you peace. Now, there's a great sermon outline in those three peace be unto you statements. In verse 19, it's freedom from fear that he means. They were meant for fear of the Jews. Peace be unto you is freedom from fear. In verse 21, he says, peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. This was strength for service. And down in verse 26, when Thomas was there and the doors were shut, Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And that was deliverance from doubt. Now you and I are in one of these three places of need this morning. We need the Lord to come and speak the word of peace to the heart to deliver us from the fear of man. We need the Lord to come and speak peace to the heart to give us strength for service and to give us deliverance from every doubt with which the devil would afflict us. He gives us his overwhelming peace and his incomparable joy. I love John 20, verse 20. In many ways, it's the key to a successful Christian life. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Here they were, the same bunch of people who were hopeless, depressed, defeated, dismayed, and they'd given up all vision of anything worthwhile for their lives. Their faces, as we would say in Northern Ireland, were as long as a lurgan spade. And that's a pretty long spade. You've seen people like that. They're so down in the mouth that their jaw dislocates their kneecap. They've lost the smile. They've lost the twinkle. They've lost the beauty of happiness in their lives. The Bible speaks of God's people as a happy people. And yet there are so many Christians, and we have to be honest, they're as miserable as they can be. What's the answer? The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. May I put that to you in two ways? Listen, when the truth of the resurrection is more than a doctrine, when it grips your heart as a motivating principle of life, when you live your life in the faith that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again, I want to tell you, it will set free a happiness and a joyfulness in your life that you've not known before. But also, we need to live in the experience of the vision of faith day by day. We see our troubles and they make us sad. We see the challenges and they cast us down. We see ourselves in all our failure and we give up hope. We look out, we look down, we look in. There's nothing in any one of those directions would bring happiness to your heart. But oh, just let us look up. Give us a sight of Christ. And I want to tell you, it's still true. He gives His disciples joy. He gives them real joy. That's the truth that the devil is spending all the riches that hell can muster. He's exerting all the energy that hell can accumulate in order to blind men to this truth. That's the truth that the devil doesn't want young people to understand. He'll show them a disco, he'll show them rock music, he'll show them some half-crazed, drug-addicted superstar. He'll want them to model themselves as some immoral Hollywood idol or idoless, if there's such a word. Promise you joy and happiness. That's the way to be happy. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? But oh, if you'll just get a glimpse of Christ. Just get a glimpse of Christ. And you'll see He gives His people an overwhelming joy. And then He comforts them with His unconquerable power. What a glorious thing. He said to them, receive the Holy Ghost. He breathed the Holy Ghost on them. These were men now who had met the risen Christ, who had received from Him the promise of the Spirit. They would never again succumb to the fear of death, the fear of men, or the fear of devils. They had power. Power to live. Power to stand. Just look at Peter. Peter wilted under the simple questioning of a little maid. This was the same man who just a little while later could look the chief priests in the eye, could look the Sanhedrin in the eye, and say to them, whether it be right for us to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge. But I'm telling you, we will obey God rather than men. That's the new Peter. Because the Lord had brought the comfort of His power. The kingdom of God, you know, is not in word. That's the thing about Christianity. It's not just a theory. It's not a philosophy. It's not a theology just. Now, there is theology. I'd be the last one in the world to deny that. It's the love of my life is to read good theology. I will not deny that. But listen, Christianity is not some egghead religion. It's not for the academics. It's not in word, it's in power. It brings power to live, power to witness, power to die. It was said of the old Methodists, they died well. Even their enemies had to say that. They died well. They had power. Oh, that we would grasp this today. He gives us the comfort of His unconquerable power. So He appeared for their comfort. He appeared to them as their confirmation. I will not take time to develop this, but I want you to understand when they saw Christ risen, it answered every question as to His person and His work. Everything that He had ever claimed to be, everything He had ever claimed to do by His dying, it was absolutely confirmed. On the road to Emmaus, when He talked to those two men, He began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. You see, the risen Christ is the death of all doubt, as Thomas found out. And as Paul later said, He was delivered or crucified, put to death because of our offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. He confirms our acceptance with God through His person and through His work. But He appears to His people as their commander and their commissioner. And here I will only refer to passages of Scripture that are very well known to us all. In Matthew 28, go into all the world. Go ye and teach, or make disciples of all nations. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 24, 48 and 49, you're going to be my witnesses. John 21, you go into that passage again, you find that the Lord Jesus Christ, 20 and 21, is preparing to send his people forth, even telling Peter how he would die for him. And Acts chapter 1 tells us that in those 40 days, the Lord Jesus took his disciples, got them together, and he taught them, and he instructed them, and he prepared them. And then he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And having said that, he was taken up to heaven out of their sight.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.